Mark chapter 3, verse 14, where it says, "And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and have authority to cast out demons." Father, I pray that you would bless even this short verse, that, Lord, it would be the exact word that we need to hear again tonight. That, Lord, you would recalibrate us. You would fix the dials back to zero. That we would have that proper perspective again, Lord, tonight. And that we would do more than just learn about you and be reminded of some theological truth. But, Lord, it would cause us to encounter you tonight. May your word be the vehicle, along with your Holy Spirit, that drives us to more intimate walk with you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Has this ever happened to you, where you are sitting in one room and you think to yourself, oh, I got to go into the other room to do whatever? And so you get up and you start walking because you have something in mind, clearly, that you need to do. Along the way, though, you step on a toy that didn't get picked up or a dog bone that got left in the middle of the floor. And then you notice there's a cupboard open. You walk over and you shut that. And then there's some lights that got left on. You turn those off. And you walk back. You finally get into the room that you needed to go to. And you stand in the middle of the room and go, why am I here? What am I doing here? And you forget what your mission was. And I think that that's happening more and more to me as the years go by. But isn't that funny? That's a lot like our Christian life sometimes, isn't it? You know, we have a very clear mission. We have a very clear purpose as believers. And as we're walking on that clear path of what we're supposed to be doing and who we are in Christ and everything else, we get bombarded with all kinds of distractions, not necessarily bad ones, just life. And for, you know, once in a while, find myself, you know, figuratively speaking, in a sense, just standing there going, what am I doing here again? What was I doing? And I found that I need every once in a while for the Lord to say, you are doing this, and put me back on track. Amen? The verse that I read to you has, over the years, time and time again, been that recalibrating verse for me. That just is kind of the oh yeah, that's what I was doing verse that keeps me on track and keeps me focused amidst all the distractions and things in life. And so I just want to take a couple of minutes to review this. And I know that's exactly what it is. I know you know these things. But as I say often, I am convinced we don't need to learn new stuff. We just need to live out the things we already know. Amen? And this is a passage that I love. You see, the context is early in Jesus' ministry. You read before this in verse 7 that there was great crowds following him from, and it lists like Judea and Samaria and up in the Galilee area. And that's a huge spread. That's people, literally thousands and thousands upon people were coming to see him. There were regulars that were following him, but he's pulling aside his 12 disciples after a night of prayer with his father. He finally calls the 12, and I'll just read it. It says in verse 13, he went up to a mountain, he called to him those who he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, and he called them eventually apostles, and he called them so that they might be with him and that he might send them forth to preach, ... And I love that verse, because here's the thing. His disciples, the main reason he pulled them aside, and I love the way it says it in that verse, number one was to what? Did you catch that? To be with him. To be with him. I love that for this reason. That is what it's all about. The reason that Jesus came to earth. I understand the context of what this is saying, but there's a bigger picture. The whole reason that Jesus even came was to make a way so that we could be with him. The whole reason God gave his son, the whole point of Jesus coming and dying on the cross and even, you know, being on the earth to begin with and dying on the cross was because he was on a rescue mission to seek and save that which was lost. We'll talk about in a minute. But the purpose of that is because he loved us and that he wanted to rescue us and, listen, bring us back into relationship that had been lost. The greatest thing of the gospel, the greatest part of being a disciple of Jesus is not serving him. That's important. We'll talk about that. That's part two. But lest we forget what it's all about, even more than serving, even more than preaching, even more than all those things, it's to be with him, is to have a personal, intimate relationship with the God of the universe. Amen. We sometimes forget how ridiculous it would have sounded in the ears of people when Jesus, teaching his disciples to pray, said, this is how you pray. You say, Father. That was a bomb. All they knew him by was Jehovah, and they didn't even pronounce that word. His name was so holy. Guys, the point I want to make, number one here, is that the whole thing of following Jesus is that we have a relationship with the God of the universe. That which was lost, our relationship with God in the Garden of Eden, when sin came in because of Adam's disobedience and all of us just coming from Adam and inheriting that sinful, that sinfulness and that death has been dealt with by Jesus on the cross. Let me read to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, and I'm going to read a kind of a big chunk, but just listen. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And here's the kicker. You ready? For our sake, he, the Father, made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. The whole point of that section I wanted to emphasize is that in Christ, God reconciled us back to himself. He brought us back into relationship that we might be with him. The word reconcile is interesting. It's a katalasso. The root word alasso means to change, or literally to make other than it is. And that is exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He made it other than it is. The way that it was is that we were sinners and we were separated from God and we were foul. We inherited a sinful nature and we also did a lot of sinning ourselves. And then the Holy Righteous One took our place, absorbed our sin, was treated like a sinner, and then died for those sins and then gave us his righteousness by faith. Amen? I love this quote from John Stott. He says it this way. The essence of sin is man substituting himself for God, while the essence of salvation is God substituting himself for man. Man asserts himself against God and puts himself where only God deserves to be. God sacrifices himself for man and puts himself where only man deserves to be. He made things other than they were. The Lord, who knew no sin, became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. We need to ponder that, amen? We need to consider that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, amen? Guys, when Jesus was on the cross, the saddest day in world history was when Jesus was on the cross, and the saddest moment of that saddest day was when on that cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when the Father turned the back on his Son And somehow, I don't even know how it all works, but somehow all of our sin, every specific dirty thought, every lie, every act of anger that was not righteous, every sin ever done by every person who's ever lived was put upon the sinless one. And he was forsaken and beaten and died and absorbed the wrath of God on our behalf. And here's the kicker. He didn't have to. He chose to. Why? So that we might be with him. That we might have a relationship with him. Amen? I love what it says in Hebrews in conclusion on this point. He says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Amen. I took the time at the beginning to remind us of those things because we want to now take communion. Communion is something we do in remembrance of Christ. And as we take communion, you have to fight like I do so often to not let it be just going through the motions of eating the bread and drinking the juice. This is something that the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ himself, told his church to do until he comes back. This is a specific thing that we're doing. They didn't do this before Jesus instituted it. They had the Passover meal and all the rest. This is something that's very specific to the church and the church age, us. Since Christ's death until he comes back, that's the only time in history where we're this group of people that he told us to do this. And that is to take a piece of bread and eat it in remembrance of him, realizing that his body was broken for us. Taking wine or juice and knowing that it symbolizes his blood that was shed for us. Drinking it in remembrance of him. This is something that Jesus told us to do. Amen. So tonight, we get to do that, and let's do it in remembrance. Remembrance of what? That he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Guys, if you're a believer in Jesus, you have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. Whether you feel righteous or not is not what matters. The reality is, if you're a believer in Christ, you are righteous in God's eyes. And the practical side of that, it's only a matter of time, because when you die or when he comes back, you will be practically what you already are now positionally. Rejoice with me together tonight, guys, that we have been made righteous in Christ Jesus. Amen. All of our sins are gone. And if that's where we ended the service, guys, it would be enough to praise God for all of eternity that we who deserved hell and punishment and the wrath of God, Jesus did that for us. And he has given to us what was his righteousness. Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for. Amen. I'll end with one last thing. It's interesting. The Westminster Catechism, the first part of it says this: what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Guys, Jesus said to those disciples, he says to us tonight, I'm choosing you that, number one, you might be with me. We get to just be with the Lord. Amen? Let's enjoy his presence tonight. Guys, we're going to continue to worship. And as we do, the communion table is open. If you want to come down and kneel and pray, we'll have some guys or ladies available to pray if you want to do that. If you want to just get on your knees. But let's not rush this. Let's commune. Do you know what the word communion is? It's participation, community, fellowship, koinonia. We have that with the God of the universe. I don't even know. I feel funny saying that. Oh, man. Guys, let's enjoy. Let's approach the throne of grace and enjoy. Just be. Just be with the Lord tonight for a while. Talk to him. Love on him. Thank him. Receive again the knowledge that your sins are forgiven. I triple dog dare you to really believe your sins are forgiven and to accept it and to walk in the newness of life that you have in him. Amen?
I have another point to my last point. When we get this, guys, that we can be with the Lord, that he made a way for us to be with him, that's where we find all of our, listen, that's where we find all of our worth, that's where we find all of our satisfaction, That's where we find all of our joy. It's in being with the Lord, that the God of the universe loves us and wants a relationship with us. Amen? Amen. Guys, we just need to revisit that. My encouragement is that we would be like those first disciples, that we would be those who are with the Lord. Amen? Well, there's a second part to the verse, but before we get to it, I wanted to just ask a friend of mine to come up and share with us a song. Chris Wilson, ladies and gentlemen.
Is where one day we'll stand. Do you believe in a purpose? Do you believe in a plan that we were all created by a living God's mighty hand? Do you believe in the promise of truth? That a father would give up his own son. I believe in the Father, I believe in the Son, I believe in the Spirit, three in one. I believe in the gospel, I believe in its word. I believe that our Savior is coming back for this old world. Do you believe in Jesus? Believe that he's the chosen one, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived in the land. Do you believe that he was tempted, yet remained a sinless man? Do you believe in the power of his holy name, that the lame could walk and the blind could see again? Well, I believe in the Father, I believe in the Son, I believe in the Spirit, three in one. And I believe in the gospel, I believe in its word. I believe that our Savior is coming back for this old world. Do you believe that Jesus, sweet Jesus, do you believe that he was betrayed by his own, that he was beaten down and broken, yeah, his robe was torn, upon his head he wore a crown of thorns, yeah, and when they hung him on the cross they said, if you are truly God, come down again. But faithfully he remained. So I believe in the Father, I believe in the Son, I believe in the Spirit, three in one. And I believe in the gospel, I believe in its word. I believe that our Savior is coming back for this old world. Did you believe that death could bind him? Did you believe a stone could hold him in? 3 days later, he rose again. Yeah, now there's no more sorrow, yeah. No more pain. The lame will walk and the blind will see again. Yeah, yeah. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Spirit, three in one. And I believe in the gospel. I believe in His word. And I believe that our Savior is coming back for this old world. Yes, I believe that our Savior is coming back for this old world. I believe that our Savior is coming back for this old world.
Amen. That's the gospel. You just heard the gospel saying to you. That's what it's all about, you guys. Jesus, the Son of God, coming, dying, risen again, He's coming back. Amen? Amen? Great song. So we stand there, right? In the room. What am I doing in here? Like we do in life. We stand there sometimes at our job, at school, at the store, and we go, is this it? What am I doing? What am I doing here? And I love this verse. He called the 12 that they might one what? Come on, guys. That he might what? Be with him. That's the whole. One more time. He called the 12 that they might what? Be with him. Guys, that's the whole thing. Number one, first and foremost, this is what you're doing here. God has redeemed your life. You have relationship with God. That is the purpose of your life, is to know Him, glorify Him, enjoy Him for all of eternity. Amen? And every day we can be with Him, and He's with us. Secondly, I love this because right there in verse 14, it says that He not only called them that they might be with Him, that He also might send them out to preach and to cast out demons. He called those guys to Himself, number one, that they might be with Him. That speaks of relationship. And we went to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to go there again, where He was, God made Him to become sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, for what purpose? That we might be reconciled, brought back into relationship with the Lord. And that's the first point. But secondly, and it's also tied into 2 Corinthians 5 in the text that we just looked at, He not only saved us, and first and foremost, to be with Him, that is the main point, but also, just like those apostles and that on that day, He sent them forth to preach, proclaim, to minister to people. Guys, in the same way, we've not only been saved, but we've been sent. Amen? Remember in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus risen from the dead, He pops into the room, which was locked, by the way, and he sees His guys, and His first deal was, He says, peace be with you. He had to say that. Why? The doors were locked, and He wasn't in there a minute ago, and now He's in there. They're freaking, and He's like, peace, peace. Jesus is not a hippie, okay? And He's not like, peace, bro, beads, and all that. He just was like, peace, be still, mellow, calm. I'm in your midst. And then He said to them, just as I have been sent, even so I am sending you. And guys, or you can go to the text I just read in Mark chapter 3:14, to be with Him, and then He sent them to preach. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We read the whole thing, but let's hear it again. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against Him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Do you guys catch that? We'll go to that next verse in a second. We've been saved and we've been sent. I love that. Back to John 20, 21 for a second. Jesus said, just as the Father sent me, past tense, he says in the present tense, so I am also sending you. We've been saved and we've been sent. Amen? When Jesus came, he was sent by the Father on a mission, a rescue mission. What was that mission? Luke 19:10, he said, I came to what? Seek and save that which was lost. He was on a mission to seek and save that which is lost. And he accomplished that on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave and ascended to heaven, he went to heaven. But listen, and we have to get this. I'm going to turn over to Acts chapter 1. And I'm doing this quickly for a minute because for a reason, because I don't want to spend too much time on this. But in Acts chapter 1 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says this. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. When Jesus was sent by the Father to the earth, he was on a mission to seek and save the lost. It was through the cross and resurrection. Amen? He paid for our sins. But then he ascended to heaven. But listen, his mission continues. The Gospels are the account of what Jesus began to do and to teach. But guess what? His mission is continuing. It's the same mission, to seek and save sinners. Amen? But he's doing it now, not with him, one person on the earth. He's now doing it through his Holy Spirit, through his church. Amen? We are now those continuing his mission with him in us and through us into the world. Amen? So guys, here's one thing that we have to understand. Is we have been saved. And what was the main purpose for us being saved? He loves us. And he brought us back into relationship. But he's also given to us, while we're still here, the ministry of reconciliation. We now, who have been saved, get to go out to the unsaved and tell them to get saved. Amen? Amen? How does that relate to everything that you started talking about? That is why we're here. What am I doing here again? Let me tell you what you're doing here again. Jesus saved you from hell to have a relationship with you. And now he sends you off into the world so others can have a relationship with him too. Well, that's not why I'm here. I'm just, no, you got it all wrong. I'm here because I work at Fred Meyer. God did not save you just so you could climb the corporate ladder at Fred Meyer in and of itself. But it might be very much God's will that you are at Fred Meyer. Because he did save you to send you as a secret agent to Fred Meyer. Oh, I'm not here to preach the gospel. I'm just a school teacher. No. You think you're a school teacher. You're a spy. You're undercover. You have been sent to Astoria Middle School. You've been sent to Warrenton High School. You've been sent to Astoria. You are there to be I'm getting ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the next verse, verse 20 says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We're imploring you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. What am I doing here? What's my purpose? Let me tell you what your purpose is. It is not to accumulate as much money and toys as you possibly can before you die. Our purpose in this life, having been saved by the blood of Jesus, is now to go out into the world and preach and live out the gospel to the world that they might be saved as well. Amen. We are a saved people who have been sent. And when I say that we've been sent, see, we always think of the Great Commission as certain, like, super Christians in the church that get sent out to foreign countries, probably Africa, because it's always Africa. We've talked about this. That's true, kind of. We some of us do get picked up and moved, but this is what we have to come back to over and over again. Every Christian is a missionary. Every Christian is continuing Jesus' mission to seek and save the lost. Every one of us have been sent to where have I been sent? Exactly where you are tonight. That's where you've been sent. What if I want to go somewhere else? He might send you somewhere else. But guess what? When you get to somewhere else, what are you going to be doing? The exact same thing you're supposed to be doing right where you're at right now. And that is to live out Jesus and proclaim Jesus to whoever he's put around you. Amen? to just live for Christ and be, as we like to say, and it's a popular phrase now, on mission for Christ wherever it is that we are. That's why you're here. Amen? We're ambassadors. I looked up a definition for ambassador. Let me read it to you. An ambassador, definition number one, was an official envoy, especially a diplomatic agent of the highest rank accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as the resident representative of his or her own government or sovereign, or appointed for a special and often temporary diplomatic assignment. You guys are a high-ranking envoy. You have been sent by a sovereign to reside in another area, not to conform to that area, but to be a representative of the one who sent you, of the kingdom that you represent. Amen? Amen. Guys, we are here on a temporary mission to represent Jesus Christ's kingdom in our lives, wherever we are. Amen? We are agents. In God's eyes, high-ranking agents. You know why an ambassador is a high-ranking agent? Because when an ambassador in a country, from the United States to another country, that person is acting on behalf and reflecting the country in which he has been sent, from which he has been sent. He is a representative. Whatever he does reflects on the country that sent him, right? And guys, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are here not to conform to this world, not to assimilate into it, but we're here to save it. We're here on a rescue mission. We're representing the kingdom of God. We have been sent by Jesus into the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? To live it out and look for opportunities to tell people the gospel. What am I doing in this room again? I just told you. Because God loves you and he saved you and wants a relationship with you. And while you're here, we get to tell other people about a God who loves them and saved them and wants to have a relationship with them. That's pretty simple.
Yep.
You're right. It is very simple. That's what we're called to do. Amen? So here's the deal. Whether you know it, whether you accept it or not, you are an ambassador. And I would encourage you, fellow ambassadors, let's step into our role all the more. Let's take our high calling seriously, because here's what's going to go down. I don't know if you know this, but ambassadors don't stay in the country they represent forever. Amen. They're called back eventually. Amen. And guess what? Whenever a country is going to go to war with a country, the first thing they do is pull their ambassadors out. And the Lord is coming. Soon and very soon, he's coming. And he's going to pronounce judgment on this world. And I believe before he does, he's going to remove his ambassadors. And that day is coming soon. I think the days are numbered in which we get to be here and get to share the gospel. And so we need to do that. Amen? Amen. We get to do that. Let me just give you a quote that I love, and then we're going to do something different here. It says this. I don't even know this guy who wrote this book. His name is Keith Park, and he says, "Missions is God's redemption proclaimed through persons to all people. The source is God. Its embodiment is Jesus Christ. Its story, the Bible. Its purpose, salvation. Its scope, humanity. Its declaration is the believer's mandate. Its fulfillment is the church's task. Its application is the world's hope. Its culmination, it's God's glory." Amen. Guys, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are saved and sent people. That's what we're doing here. Amen? So with that in mind, guys, we've spent some time in communion, just communing with the Lord and talking to the Lord and just enjoying that fellowship. But here's what I wanted us to do tonight. I want us to spend some time before we go, and we have a little bit of time left over. I want us to spend some time praying as a church together. Because here's the thing. Each and every one of you has somewhere you've been sent. And you're going to go there tomorrow. You might be a stay-home mom. You might be a student, you might be a cook, you might be a plumber, you might be making tacos at Taco Bell, God bless you. You might, whatever it is, wherever you go, it really is your mission field. It really is where you've been sent. And you have probably, even the moment I say it, 2, 3, 4 people in mind, maybe some family members, coworkers, friends, whatever, that don't know Jesus. And we need to pray for them, amen. We need to pray for them. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to do something we don't do on a Thursday nights a lot. I'm going to ask you to move around from your seats in a moment. Huddle up with 2, 3, 4 other people. And I just want you guys to start praying. I don't want you to even share prayer requests. I just want you to pray. If you don't feel like praying, it's really uncomfortable for you to do that in a group. This is a great opportunity for you to grow. You don't have to. Nobody's like, we don't have deacons walking around like, I don't think that guy's praying. He's out of here. Like, we're not going to do that. I know that this is kind of stretching some comfort zone. But guys, we're the church. This is what we do. We pray. We pray. We pray together. And we need to pray together because souls are on the line. Souls that you work with tomorrow. Souls that you go to school with tomorrow. Souls of family members and friends need to know Christ. And prayer avails much. Amen? I don't know how it all works, but when we intercede, we enter into a galactic battle somehow. And I believe the Lord hears our prayers and moves mightily through our prayers. Amen? We need to be praying. Another thing I wanted to mention, because I did say that sometimes, you know, we're a sent people, and that does mean that every single one of us, right where we are a sent people. We're sent right to where we are. But it is true that God sometimes moves us and calls us and sends us other places. That is absolutely true as well. Amen? I was sent out from a church in Southern Oregon 13 years ago. I was sent here by my church to pioneer a church, to try to start a church, which the Lord graciously did. Amen? And so some of us are called to do that. I just wanted to communicate this to you guys because we talk a lot about it in leadership, but I never get a chance to communicate it to everybody else. We have a couple of guys that are on our leadership, two elders in particular, Chris Bergerson and Chris Suits. Is Chris, where are you? Yeah, right there. These are two guys that for the last year or so have been feeling a calling in their life, a specific calling. And this is not a calling for everybody. It's a very specific calling. One, they're called to be elders, but two, a calling to eventually to go and plant a church, to start a work somewhere else. And guys, that is the in my mind, the pinnacle of what missionary work is. It is starting churches. That's what we're called, you know, as some of us are called to do. But all that to say is that I haven't mentioned that to you guys, and I want us as a church to be praying for them. They're not leaving tomorrow or anything like that. They're serving the Lord right where they're at. But just so you guys know, man, as a leadership, as elders, we're praying with these guys weekly, just like, Lord, where do you have these guys? Where are they called to go? Not only are they feeling called, but we as a leadership recognize that calling in their life, and that's a big part of the process. And so just so you guys know, man, be praying for those guys. Be praying that the Lord would open up the doors and the timing and all of the rest. Amen? And maybe the Lord's got a calling on your heart. Maybe not to go plant a church, but maybe something else that he's calling you to do, a place to move or a ministry to move into. And be praying for that. Seek the Lord on that. Amen? Eventually, we're going to have these guys come up, and not tonight. We planned on it, but we changed the plan. Okay, I changed the plan. We are going to have these guys come up at some point and be praying for them and let them share with you what the Lord's doing, but we need to pray for them. Amen? I'm excited, by the way, in a week or so, or a couple weeks, you can pray for us. We're going down to a church planters conference down in Southern California at the old Calvary Chapel Bible College campus, not the new one, but the old one, and just going to be getting some instruction and seeking the Lord, so that's an exciting thing, too.
Father, thank you that you hear these prayers. Thank you that every name that's been lifted to you, God, you've heard it. Lord, thank you that you already are working. Lord, you're sending workers into the field, and we pray you'd send even more, and that we'd be counted among those workers in the field, Lord. We just pray, God, that every soul that's been lifted to you would hear the gospel again. We know, Lord, you won't violate somebody's free will, but I pray that they would just be wooed and drawn to you, and that they would understand their need for a Savior. That, Lord, we would be good ambassadors, not representing a religion or anything like that, but, Lord, we would be ambassadors of grace, ambassadors of the gospel. Lord, even as you said, just as I was sent, even so I am sending you in the next breath. It says you breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We know as believers we have your Holy Spirit. And not to sound cliche in any way, but we want your Holy Spirit to have us. Lord, even in our desire to see more people get saved,
somewhere real close to that recognition is the, also the realization that we're powerless often. We can't save anyone. We're not even very bold. As excited we are as about being saved, for some reason it's really hard to share it sometimes. And we need the power and the boldness and the strength of your Holy Spirit afresh tonight. So Lord, even as we prayed for salvation, we pray right now, would you fill us again? Lord, in Acts chapter 4, they prayed for boldness and you shook that place. And we need boldness. Lord, we need help. We need the dunamis, the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. A power that's not our own, Lord. Let's all stand together. And if you feel led to, you can lift your hands. It's not a command from Jason or anything like that. In the Bible, raising your hands is an expression of lifting up your heart. We're told in Lamentations. And if that's just you, you want to just pray in faith, just pray with me. Lord, we desire, we want, we need, and long for, and we're asking for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit upon us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, Astoria needs Jesus. Cannon Beach needs Jesus. Hammond needs Jesus. Warrenton needs Jesus. Napa needs Jesus. Oh, Lord. This is where we are. This is where we live. And we want to be good ambassadors. So fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. And we feel the opportunities coming up tomorrow and the next day. And our hearts begin to beat. Lord, as we step out in faith, give us grace, give us boldness to just share that the Lord loves them and they can be forgiven. And may all the Bible studies and all the word that we've learned come rushing to our heads, Lord, and may we know what to say. But Lord, we recognize nothing we can say can save anybody. But yet, you want us to say something. So help us, Lord. We love you and we praise you. And I am so excited in heaven to see the fruit that came out of this night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, do you guys believe that? Listen to me. This is not just some like feel-good kumbaya thing that churches do. When we pray, somehow we are truly entering in to things that are beyond what we understand. And I know God knows everything. We don't have to tell him anything. But he, and I don't know if you understand this, he doesn't need us, right? He chooses to partner with us. And it is our privilege to partner with him. And so what a privilege we have this week to be partnered with Christ. And here's the great thing. If you prayed for more of the Holy Spirit, just believe. He's going to give you more of this Holy Spirit. And now I would encourage you, be led by the Spirit this week. When you're getting your coffee at Starbucks or Dutch Brothers or name 20 other coffee places in this town, and you feel a nudge, go talk to that guy. I triple dog dare you to just say that. I think that's the Holy Spirit. What if I'm wrong? So what? You know? Step out. May the Lord give us boldness this week. Amen?